book of Jude. Verse 1 and verse 2 of the book of Jude. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father, and preserved in Jesus Christ, and called. Mercy unto you, and peace and love be multiplied. I'd like for us to bow our heads in prayer. Father, we thank you again this morning for your goodness and mercy and love and allowing us that we might assemble together as a New Testament church. You know our hearts and you know our needs this morning. There are those here that are not saved. And we pray, Father, that it might please you to grant unto them repentance and faith, and that they might come to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Then, Father, on behalf of each of us that are saved, we pray that you would enable us this morning by the Word of God and by the Holy Spirit that we might be edified and built up in the faith. Help us that we might live our lives for your honor, for your glory, and for your praise. Thankful for being so good to us and giving us so many things, both physically and spiritually. And I pray now that you would enable us that we might be able to preach the Word and might honor and glorify you. In Jesus' name I ask it all. Amen. I'm preaching on the subject this morning of provisions for God's children. Provisions for God's children. I believe that what we have recorded here in these verses, we can see that it says, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Christ Jesus and called, mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Now, God the Father makes ample provisions for his elect. All of his provisions are channeled to them in and through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, these provisions always come in the correct order. They're never out of order. And not only do these provisions come in the correct order, as it is given to us here, but they also come at the correct time. And that is God's time. Now I want us to notice some basic truths that are given to us in these two verses concerning the subject of provisions for God's children. You'll notice, first of all, what I want us to notice, it says, to them that are sanctified by God the Father. Now, there is a sanctification that we know about after we're saved. That's not what this is talking about. That sanctification after we are saved is a progressive sanctification whereby that we are conformed unto his image. But that's not in first in God's order. Progressive sanctification is not. But this is to them that are sanctified by God the Father. Now this is in the correct order. What it is talking about the act of eternal election. Is what Jude is speaking of here in this first verse of the book of Jude. Now that's God's correct order. And you'll never have it any other way but in this order. Now, this act of that he is sanctified by God the Father is a peculiar act that is always by the Father, or it is by God the Father. It's always an act that is brought about by him. You can even say it's an act in which that the Lord Jesus Christ is even said to be sanctified. John chapter 10, and if you'll notice with me there in the 10th chapter of the book of John, and in verse 36 of the 10th chapter of the book of John, it says this. It says, "Say ye of him whom the Father hath sanctified." Now, you all know and I know that Jesus Christ didn't have a sin. It's not talking about that progressive sanctification or that being conformed to his image. I'm talking about that. It's talking about that, and we mentioned this on Wednesday night, a couple Wednesday nights ago, about the election of men. And first of all, there is the election of the Lord Jesus Christ, or the sanctifying of the Lord Jesus Christ. Said, "Say ye of him whom the Father has sanctified and sent into the world, thou blasphemest, because I said, I am the Son of God." And so we see that this is an act that is peculiar to God the Father, and all of the blessings or provisions that God has for his children always come in and through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So God has sanctified or set him apart for this purpose. Now, not only is this word used in this respect relating to the Lord Jesus Christ, but sometimes it is speaking where men are ordained, or men are appointed to an office, or they're sanctified or set apart to an office. One place that we have this is in Jeremiah chapter 1, and there in verse 5 of Jeremiah chapter 1. And listen to what Jeremiah has to say here in this verse of scripture. Now, this is, we're talking about this act of sanctifying, an act that is peculiar to God the Father. It is always by God the Father. Now, look what Jeremiah says in Jeremiah 1:5. He says this: "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee." Now, that's good. As a matter of fact, that's real good. Now notice, before I formed thee in the belly. This is before he was ever conceived in his mother's womb. That's what it means. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Now, I want to say that again. That's real good. You can't improve upon it. A lot of people don't believe God knows much. But he knew Jeremiah even before you were conceived in the womb. Now, meek form. "And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee." Now, who is it that this act is peculiar to? This act is peculiar to God. Who's the I? It's God sanctified Jeremiah. He knew him before that he was ever formed in the belly, and before he ever came out of the womb, that God sanctified him. God set him apart. And look what he said: "And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nation." Now think about God doing all of that before Jeremiah was ever conceived, and before that he ever came out of the womb. And that makes you to realize and to recognize that this act that Jude is talking about is an act that is peculiar to God of the Father. And there's no one else that has the ability, or no one else that is able to do this, but God the Father. And God does so. But not only do we talk about sanctifying or setting apart the Lord Jesus Christ, and men are sanctified or ordained or set apart, but vessels are set apart for the owner's use. And Paul wrote to Timothy, he said there in 2 Timothy, and he said in chapter 2 of 2 Timothy, and in verse 21 of 2 Timothy 2, he said this: "If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor," in other words, sanctified, "and meet for the master's use, prepared unto every good work." The language, of course, is taken from the old ceremonial law of the Old Testament, by which that when you read there, you'll see that persons and things were sanctified, or they were set apart for sacred use and for sacred service. You read in the book of Exodus, you can read in the book of Leviticus how that God set apart not only persons, but he set apart vessels and various things that he set apart for his use and for his service. In essence, that's what God is saying here, or what the Word of God is saying here in Jude verse 1. Is that not what has happened to you? And is that not what has happened to me as a child of God? The depth and the understanding of the provisions that God has for his children and for his elect. Now the elect of God are by God the Father sanctified, and they are set apart in the act of election. That's when it takes place, or that is when it happens, which is expressed by this word. I believe that he says, to them that are sanctified by God the Father. I believe that partly because of its separated nature, men being by it separated from the rest of the world. Exactly what takes place when God sanctifies or sets apart. He sets apart men from the rest of the world. And he does that in the act of election. And he does that to use them in his service and to use them for his honor and for his glory. And that's what really Jude is saying. To them that are sanctified by God the Father. Now what happens is, God does this in eternity, carries it out in time, and then they become a distinct people, and then they become a peculiar people, which has come about by an act that is only peculiar to God the Father. And they are different. They are a different people. Now we ought to praise God for this great provision that he has provided for us. Now, this is because we are chosen through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, as the Word of God speaks and talks about. But we're also separated unto holiness. Holiness in this world and also in the world which is to come. This also is included in this act, and it's peculiar only to God. And holiness is a means fixed in the being sanctified by God. That person that God sanctifies, or that God has set upon. So we see this great truth, or this great provision for God's children. Now the act of election is the fruit, and it's the effect of love. Those that are sanctified are set apart by the Father in election, and they are loved by him, and that love is an everlasting love. And Jeremiah talked about that everlasting love in Jeremiah 31:3. With loving kindness have I drawn them. And so we see that one of the provisions for God's children is that to them that are sanctified by God the Father. And what a provision it is. And little do we recognize, little do we comprehend what it really means to be sanctified by God the Father. That's the first thing. Now the second thing that I want us to notice here, and I just put the word before them, to them, for this, I put as the second thing, to them that are preserved in Jesus Christ. In other words, those who are sanctified or set apart by God the Father by election are in Christ. They're in the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you ever thought about, I often think about what it means that God sanctified or God chose or God elected me, but have you ever thought about what it means to be chosen in Christ? That's where your security is. That's where you're preserved in Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ. Take your eyes off Christ and get your eyes on self or somebody else. That's not your security. And that's not where you're preserved. But listen to what Luke said. I mean, Jude said, not Luke, but Jude. He said, to them that are sanctified by God the Father, and then I put this, and to them that are preserved, and of course, it means the same ones, preserved in Jesus Christ. Now, first of all, the reason that we're preserved in Jesus Christ is, first of all, we're chosen in Christ. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. For the foundation of the world, chosen in Christ Jesus. So we see, to be chosen in Christ Jesus means that we're preserved in Christ Jesus. Now, it means some other things. It means that those that have been sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ, that they have a place in His heart, in the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it means that that we've been put in His hands. Exactly. You know whose hands I mean? In the hands of the Lord. That's what he said. What I am now, well, I'm going to show you once a long time ago. You're in the hands of the Lord. And the reason for this preservation of being preserved is that we're in Christ. We're in Christ Jesus. We're represented by Him in the covenant of grace. He was our representative. He's still our representative. And the reason for then and now and then is because that we have been preserved in Jesus Christ. We have been chosen in Jesus Christ. We're not in ourselves, but we're in the Lord Jesus Christ. I tell you, if people could ever see this truth, they'd give up their Arminianism. And you know, you have to, young fellas, and you have to be tolerant with them. You know, I can remember when I'd just been preaching a year or 2 years, and you got to remember that, and you don't learn everything all at one time. And you know, it takes a while to learn truths and to learn things. And I don't know all the truth yet that God has for me, but He has more for me to learn, for you to learn, and I'm confident of that and know that. And so we see that to them that are preserved in Christ Jesus, they are in Christ. And there's not a better position to be than to be in the Lord Jesus Christ. So we were represented by Him in the covenant of grace. And being in Him, we're preserved by Him. Now, we're preserved both before we're ever called and even after we're called. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14. I want you to see this. Now, this is a provisions that God has for His children. And what provisions they are. Listen to this. Hebrews 1, 14. He's talking about in verse 13 those angels. He said, to which of the angels say at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. Verse 14. Are they not all ministering spirits? Look at this. Sent forth to minister for them. Not who are heirs of salvation. He said, who shall be heirs of salvation? They've been sanctified to it. They're in the Lord Jesus Christ. They don't know it. You don't know it. God knows it. Christ knows it. Angels know it. So even before the time of that salvation comes, you are preserved until that very day of salvation. And so that's what Jude's talking about. What a tremendous it is. And then you say, well, now, that's real good. Now, yeah, that's more than real good. I don't know if anybody can improve on that. As a matter of fact, nobody can improve on that. Talking about, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest out of the womb, I ordained thee and appointed thee to be a prophet. And then, even after he was born and before the calling, God ministered to him and he was preserved. Even until the time of recognition or knowing it. But now, well, you say, that's real good. Yeah, it's real good, all right. It's more than real good. That's the way a lot of people look at it. But then before and then now, and what about after? 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 5 says this. Now, we're talking about to them that are preserved in Christ Jesus. Brother, I tell you, it beats any homemade remedies, it beats any salt, it beats any canning, it beats that, because I have known things like that to spoil, ain't you, Fred? I've known things like that to spoil, but this is one thing, it won't spoil being preserved in Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 1:5 says, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. We're talking about provisions for God's children. And it's to them that are sanctified by God the Father, and to them that are preserved in the Lord Jesus Christ. What provisions? What provisions? Glorious provisions that we have. Now this is the reason this character here is put before call. Now you look at what Jude said. And he said, and this is the order, this is the correct order. And it's the reason this character is put before that third one called. He said, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ. That how in the world can anybody be preserved in Jesus Christ before they're called? Hear people ask. All you got to know is the God of heaven that sanctified and set them apart in Jesus Christ, and that watches over them and guards over them and don't let nothing happen to them till the day of conversion. They're saved by the grace of God. Same God does all that. And then, you know, then they get in a big hassle. Why, he can't even keep them after he's gotten that fault. You know, he brought them up here. He preserved them to the day of conversion, and then, oh, well, they're goners. After they got converted, they're gone. Ain't no such truth. Ain't nothing like that in the Word of God. Who are kept by the power of God through faith, ready to be revealed. That's what he's talking about. Preserved. Brother, I'm not only sanctified by God the Father, but I'm preserved in Jesus Christ. So we see this is the reason this character is put before call. But it said here, sanctified by God the Father, preserved. And then it said, and called. Now that calling is there, but there are some things that precede that calling. Amen. Being sanctified by God the Father, or elected by God the Father, and then preserved until the day of calling. Now this secret preservation of them in Christ before calling, it's secret. It's really secret. You may be here today, and God's never called you. And you don't even know or even realize that it's God allowing you to live to the very hour, the very time with the very day. That's why I don't get too excited. Now, I like to witness the faithful, and I'll talk to them about the Lord, but I don't try to rush the Lord. I want to fit into His plan. They'll say, you better get them. I've heard that old stuff all my life. I don't believe that. I believe in witnessing, and I believe in telling people about God's saving grace. I believe the Lord gives increase in these times. Now, we find this secret preservation preserved from condemnation. Well, that's what they're preserved from. They are preserved from the second day. Listen to what Romans chapter 8 and verse 1 has to say. Concerning this truth, it says, now look, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. If a person's in Christ Jesus, there is no condemnation. They are preserved. He said, and then he goes on, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. They were not preserved from falling in heaven. Were not preserved from that. Nor were they preserved from the corruption of the human nature. Nor were they preserved from actual sins and transgressions. They are preserved that the law could not execute though the sentence of condemnation and death upon them. And they were preserved so that sin could not damn them, nor Satan could destroy them. That is the preservation. But after calling, we're not preserved from indwelling sin after the calling. We meet to recognize it. 1 John chapter 1, verse 8 and verse 9. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's after the calling. After that we have been called, we are not preserved from the temptations of Satan. Satan is a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. We're not preserved from fears, and we're not preserved from unbelief. But we are not preserved from slipping, and we're not preserved from falling into sin. But we are preserved from the dominion of sin, from sin having dominion over us. Romans 6, and there in verse 14, he says, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. We are preserved from being devoured by Satan. Satan would, if he possibly could today, destroy every one of us. We are preserved from a total falling away. Romans 8, run over one page, 37 through 39. Nay, in all these things we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. We're preserved in the love of God, and we're preserved in the love of Christ. We're preserved in the covenant of grace. We're in a state of justification, and we're in a state of adoption. We're in the paths of truth, and we're in the paths of faith, and we're in the paths of holiness. That's because that we're in Christ Jesus, and we will be preserved safe to the heavenly kingdom and the glory of God that will be brought upon us. So I'm thankful for these provisions that God has for his children, to them that are sanctified by God the Father, and to them that are preserved in Jesus Christ. Then the third thing, and called. God never sanctified anybody. God never elected anybody and didn't call them. Every person that God sanctified or that God preserved in Jesus Christ calls them. He calls them. Every one of them. To show you this truth, and it is a truth that's found in the Word of God. Romans 8. And there in 29 and 30. And this is a powerful guarantee. This is a positive guarantee. This is an absolute guarantee. Look what it says. For whom he did foreknow, all of them, he did also predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Now notice, moreover, whom he did predestinate, all of them, did he also call. And whom he called, did he also justified, and whom he justified, did he also glorified. There is a powerful guarantee from the Word of God. There are two ways of calling. There's the outward call, which is through the gospel to every creature. But there is the inward call that is by the Spirit of God and by the grace of God. That comes effectually to those that have been sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ. Now the call here is to be understood of a effectual, special call. Here in Jude 1. To them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. That's not talking about a general call. It's not talking about an outward call. But it's talking about a special calling. It's talking about an effectual calling. Peter said, this calling is a calling that is from darkness to light. He says this in 1 Peter chapter 2, and therein, verse 9, He said, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him, notice, who have called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. It is a call that's a call from bondage to liberty. It's a call from a dependence on ourselves to the grace and the righteousness of the Lord Jesus. It calls us and makes us to put self aside, to deny self, and not depend upon self, but to depend and rely on the Lord Jesus Christ. And to trust him. We're called from the fellowship of the men of this world to the fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ and with the people of God. We're called also to eternal glory. It's Peter chapter 5, and there in verse 10, when Peter spoke of this, listen to what he said. He said, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory, notice, by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. So we see that Jude says, and these are provisions, not only are we sanctified by God the Father, not only are we preserved in Jesus Christ before and after our calling, but then we are called. Have you ever been called? Has God called you? He called me. I believe there are those of you who would willingly admit that you also have been called. Now the sanctified is chosen or elected. The preserved is before and after conversion. And the call is to salvation. And the call is to service. And the call also is to glory. Now what's the result of that? Here's the result. Here's the effects of the results of verse 2. Mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Now these are provisions for God's children. If you're not saved this morning, you need a Savior. And that Savior is Jesus Christ. You need to, by the Holy Spirit, be brought to the place that you know who you are and what you are and what you need. That you know you're a sinner, you're condemned, and you're on the way to a devil's hell. And you need to recognize that your only hope is Jesus Christ. Receiving Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. But if you're here this morning and you are saved, mercy, peace, and love be multiplied. You can relate because you are of them that was sanctified by God the Father, preserved in Jesus Christ, and called. God said, glory. Such blessings. I'll stand and sing a hymn in closing. The Lord is speaking to you, and this church invites you to come. For how the Lord will be.